You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live,
The Beat, featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news.
Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live,
The Beat.
Hey guys, welcome to The Beat here on Black Hollywood Live. I am joined in studio by singer, songwriter, legendary performing artist, John Sly Wilson. What is going on, sir?
Hey, what's up?
Thank you for coming in.
Good. Thank you for having me.
We have a little dance break at the beginning here.
Hey. All right now. Did too many gigs with them.
Oh, do you know every guest that I've had on this show, I ask them who this is. No one can tell me.
It's the Whispers.
Yeah.
That's what I did too many with Scotty and Juan. I did too many gigs with them.
I at least thought, you know, maybe the younger generation would come on, and when I say, who is this, they would say Will Smith.
Right.
Like, because he did the Miami. Right. No, they don't even get that either. I'm like, I'm done. I'm going to have to find a new intro song.
Oh, no. Keep with that. That's a groove.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in. We've been trying to get you in for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. Before we get into your extensive resume, I want to talk to you about some trending Twitter topics and just kind of see where Sly's at in 2014. Jay Electronica, he came out with, he just did an interview from a Brooklyn hip hop festival. And in the middle of the interview, he started getting upset and he just started tweeting. And he went on to tweet this. He said, "The IQ of the entire music industry, and actually the world, is at an all-time low. Hashtag accept your own and be yourself." He extended his critiques to 97% of the artists in the music industry as a whole, and he says they're making songs about absolutely nothing. He went on to say, "What would you rather, 20 albums about nothing or one song about something real, genuine, good, and true? Hashtag smarten up, hashtag the Matrix has you." And then he went on to name some artists like Kendrick Lamar, 50 Cent, Wale, Drake. He just tweeted their names out. He didn't attach anything with them, but people are assuming that he's, you know, referring to them as the lower IQ artist. That's a pretty deep statement to make in 2014. I would have to say I don't know if I would select the names that he did, all of the names. But as far as, I mean, him going out and saying that the IQ of the music industry in the world is at an all-time low, kind of hard to debate with him at times. What would you think?
Well, you're going to get me in trouble here, but okay, we'll talk about it. Let's turn the words around. I would say the IQ is a wrong word to use, mm-hmm. that the lack of knowledge of what came before you to bring it to this era has not been accomplished yet.
Okay. Much better, nicer way of putting it.
Right, because, now it's about how you look instead of about the content of a song.
Yep.
Now, not all artists are guilty of that, but I would say that a majority are. Again, you have to have a statement made on the, by singing it or rapping it before it's about being seen. I remember a girl came to me recently and she says, "John, Sly, I want you to produce me." I said, "Okay, let me hear your stuff." "What do you mean stuff? I got to look."
Are you serious?
Yeah. Okay, but what about the songs? So I would say that, I've also produced in Japan. I produced in China. I produced, basically around the world. And, some of the artists around the world I've seen are absolutely awesome, because they have done their homework on our music and taken it to other levels. So what I'm saying to the new artists, look of what came before you. You can't know where you're going until you know where you've been.
Mm.
And then take it from there and go.
When would you say, you've been in this business for so long, would you say that shift of ego kind of changed in music?
You said when or where?
Both, actually.
Okay. I think it shifted probably in the early 2000s, you know, and it basically shifted here. Because when the videos came in, you know, in the 80s, mm-hmm. we were still dealing with, you know, radio. That's where the majority of your songs were heard. Now we have the internet and we have YouTube, so anybody can post to YouTube. And so it's become visual mm-hmm. instead of, like to say, the content of the lyric. You know, you're going to have, I remember Joe Walsh said this. I saw him on TV not too long ago. He says, you have two lines in a song with seven writers.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I love Beyonce, but though it blows my mind every time when they show there's like an Instagram tweet that goes around of the actual credits for Who Runs the World. Like right. the whole song is Who Runs the World? Girl.
Exactly.
And it's like eight people.
Right.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. How did this happen?
How do I get that job?
Right. Exactly. So that also tells me that there's a lack of homework being done. Like, for example, you know, there's too busy. Like I said earlier, of the show, James Brown told me when we signed with James Brown, show business, 10% show, 90% business, show business.
That would make sense. As far as 2014, where we are musically, who is to blame, would you say, is to blame for where we are with music? Now, I know it's You said that the video started that decay, but would you say it's more media that is promoting this? Like, because for me, it's like, you know, everyone talks about there's no good music out right now. I'm like, I could tell you a whole bunch of good music out right now. They're not getting spun or played anywhere, but I mean, they're big name artists and big name, you know, people who have been doing music for quite some time. And so, you know, is it the artists that we blame because they, in terms, sold out? Because, you know, hey, well, I was trying to get this record deal and, you know, it wasn't coming and, you know, they wanted me to do this, so I shifted gears and I went and did this. Or do we blame the industry at this point?
I think it's a little bit of everybody. We blame the industry, we blame the artists because, I might get in trouble with saying this. We've now settled for mediocrity instead of excellence.
Yep.
Okay. In my day, and again, I'm going to cut my head off again. In my day, a lot of these groups wouldn't even been, or artists wouldn't even been approached for a deal. Mm-hmm. They couldn't have got a deal. And also, where are the new singing groups? Where are the new Sly, Slick, and Wickeds? Where are the new OJs or Temptations? Where's the new Earth, Wind, and Fires? Where are the, you know, it's like, or the new In Vogue, the last band that I can ever remember that was really made a real great mark was Mint Condition. You know, and then you had In Vogue, the last girl group, really. So, I mean, there's been a sprinkle of a couple of others.
Yeah.
So I blame it on everything in the industry and also the type of deals they're giving out. You know, in my day, you had like a deal, a single contingency on an album where you put the single out. And if the single did well, you would go into an album, you see, after a certain amount of sales. And so where at least you could get one piece of product out instead of a whole album. But now you can still get that out on iTunes or something else, but you got to have a video that's attached with it. So, okay, they're looking at the look, but what about the song?
Mm. Would you say that as far as putting, you know, we have these, TGT is out there. You know, we have Genuine, Tank, Tyrese putting a group together. And, you know, every year, you know, I love the music that they put out, but every year you see them kind of get shaded in all these categories, you know, for the award seasons and whatnot. And it's almost like R&B music, it exists, but it's not acknowledged in any way. Like, the things that radio considers R&B is pop music. Why would you say that, you know, hip-hop has, you know, become this powerhouse where R&B is just kind of shoved into this corner?
Because again, I'm gonna get shot again.
It's so the safe zone.
No. Hip hop is so easy to do, but the thing is, it's so old too. Because if I can tell you, the first rap video that I ever seen was made in 1936. You would say, "Wait a minute, hold on."
Yeah, right.
The Three Stooges, the Woman Haters, the first rap video. Huh. First gangster rap I ever heard was in 1943, 44. I got the number, Pig McMarkum. Okay. So my point is that, as I said before, there is no, we're not looking back and pulling from the greats, the masters. You know, these people left roadmaps for everybody, and all you have to do is follow. And so hip hop is very easy to do, you know, where R&B, you know, you got to have, sit down and put a whole session together and, you know, have everybody there. It takes a certain way to sing it.
Mm-hmm.
But even the some of the R&B that I've heard now from some of the new artists is very watered down. It's like, this is a copy of, and it's just a very bad copy.
Yeah. Oh my, it literally is like just Pop-Tarts just popping up right now.
Right.
I can't. All right. So I'm excited about this topic right now because you brought to my attention something that we're going to talk about with your music. But Whitney Houston has a biopic coming up, and Lifetime is producing it. They're also producing the Aaliyah one, which had how much controversy? The biggest thing that's going on with this right now is that Angela Bassett's directing it. And with Angela Bassett directing it, Yaya DaCosta, a model from America's Next Top Model, is playing the role of Whitney Houston. She's not a singer, and the family's not working with the production, so they can't use Whitney Houston's music. So it came out yesterday, a couple days ago, that Deborah Cox will be re-singing all of Whitney Houston's songs for this movie. How do you feel about that?
Well, I would like to see them use, you know, do license and use her work, but also it's been success with somebody else actually singing the song. I mean, look at Jennifer Hudson when she redid I'm Telling You, you know, and even though Jennifer Holliday, you know, tore the roof off of it, Jennifer Hudson did a very good job of it, too. So it depends on, I have to say, let me see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
If everything flows and it's really in the spirit of what the work that Whitney left, you know, then hey, right on, because you're getting the message out who this person was, the kind of music that she made, where her head was at when she was making it. So let's wait and see.
Kiki Palmer was supposed to play the role of Whitney, and she actually turned it down because the family wasn't working with the production, and her personally, she just felt, if I'm going to, you know, get into this character and this role, I want to be able to, you know, pull from the family. So it'll be interesting because, you know, the way that they're going about telling this is, you know, Angela went out to say, I really just want to tell a story about a boy and a girl who fell in love. You know, these are two world. These are the words and this is the place and these are the people on the outside. I want to be honest as I can about doing that. She went on to say, you know, we all know that their drugs were a part of their story. That's certainly an element. We can't tell their story without it. I hope we can unpack it gently. So I think it'll be an interesting take. I don't like the word biopic with it. Like, let's just say the Whitney Houston, a story.
Right.
About Whitney Houston's life.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's always bothered me because the Notorious one, like when that came out and they weren't talking with, you know, Lil' Kim. I just feel like if you're going to be a part of, if you want to tell someone's story, you got to go to the source.
Right.
In order for it to come out correct.
Exactly.
So like you said, we'll see. Hopefully. I mean, Angela Bassett, she's a goddess, so I'm sure she'll do fine. Okay, so new music on YouTube right now. I'm really excited to show this. So my friends, they are on a Native American reservation, and so they, you know, they'd be finding like the most interesting people, and they send them to me. And so my friend, she gave me this person. This girl, it's a girl and a guy. They're called the Alabama Shakes.
Okay.
Have you heard of them?
No.
Oh, all right. So the song's called I Found You, and this girl, her voice is chilling.
This isn't sometime, yeah, it's for always. If I'm gonna love you with all of my heart, and if there is no more time, it's always remains. Even as the world spins itself apart, 'cause I remember them days I waited so patiently for God to bring somebody gonna be good to me.
There we go. Alabama Shakes. Definitely continue to go watch that video on YouTube. It just gets better. Raw talent. You're into it?
I like it a lot. Absolutely.
All right. So the next one, shifting gears here. His name is Full Cast Flip. And the song is called A Damn Hook. So let's check this out. He's really dope.
Great into the song. Man, fuck a damn intro. Mic check, uno dos, bitches better recognize. Planet Earth, there's only uno eye. I keep my head up and my hat low. I got that frisky attitude, kitty flow. Produce my own shit, obtain my own wealth. Spit my own bars and do it all by myself. There's only one me. Unicorn, I'm like five different people in uno form. Yeah, I know you see me over there. I be doing whatever I please. Cannibalistically chowing these rappers who faking the funk and just wanna be cheese. Well, guess what? Tough luck, motherfucker. Chuck up the deuces for what, motherfucker? I put in work and get my pay. Like a motherfucker. Loud like a gunshot. Haters gon' talk, but I won't stop. Yep, I got swag on a milli, got a million haters, but all of them no chili. You can't fuck with me, player, boy, I'm fresh to death. And if I'm always right, then there's nothing left. Man, fuck a damn hook.
So there we go, that's Full Cast Flip. His story's really cool, and one of the most intriguing things about him is literally you just put any beat on, and the things that comes out of this kid's mouth is incredible. All right, last video I want to show you. I was on YouTube and I came across this. It's a grassroots movement to get this film made.
Okay.
And that's all I'm going to tell you guys. Okay. It's the history of R&B music. Let's take a look.
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin.
The white promoters would look to pay the black bands a little money.
So when we got a check, we were like in shock. Is this all it takes to make a little money?
You had the sound of Philly. You had the Motown sound coming out the South, the Stax sound coming out of Florida, TK out of LA, Solar.
She was tough, but she didn't mind cursing you out.
My name is Billy Paul.
My name is Kathy
Sledge. This is Robert Kubel.
I'm Howard Hewitt, and you're watching the history of R&B music.
So there you guys go.
All my friends.
Have you heard of this project?
Yeah, isn't this Kashif's project?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'll probably be a part of that later. And everything on there is 1,000% true.
And so
I lived it.
This was actually you were the perfect guest to have on the show for this.
I lived all of it.
I just think that the story hasn't really been told from, you know, the source. And so I'm glad, you know, they're really going hard with the grassroots movement. And basically it'll be 10 nights, 10 different episodes.
Right.
So it's the history of R&B music. Literally just Google that and the website will come up and you can donate, as little to a dollar, you know, just to get this project going. I just think it's important. And so on that note, let's talk about you and your legendariness right now. Sly, Slick, and the Wicked.
Yes.
You're in this group, this epic little group. I think we actually have a video. Let's just play the video first. This is you guys performing at the Soul Train. Soul Train Awards. At Soul Train, performing Show Enough.
Ooh, yeah. I tried so hard
can say it. You really love me. Hey man, maybe that was his real. Or maybe she had a Love Jones for the cat. I don't know. But you know, Slick had the same problem, didn't you, Slick?
Did he? Didn't even happen to me. Me of all people. Life is funny.
Yeah.
Love is funny. It can play stupid games on you. Still, I watch out for the tricky game. But nevertheless, I'm still a man. I know I am.
Yeah, find me a performer out there today that's doing that, okay? Show me, let me go to a concert like that, all right? You know, I heard that you had actually started your first group when you were 12 years old.
Right, I did.
And so this comes from you being this musical prodigy, that you were playing classical music at the age of six?
Yes,
Music obviously is a big part of your family with your parents. Why at the age of six, you know, what was it, you know, about me from 6 to 12 to you getting into the group? What was it about music that just pulled you towards it?
Well, Mom and Dad always had music in the house, you know, from the time I could remember. My father played upright bass. My mother had her own radio show, and she also played piano. And from classical to gospel, it was always in the house from the time I can remember. So it was just something natural. And in school, they started passing instruments around when I was in like the first, second grade. And I liked to try. I wanted to play, start playing the piano, but there was no piano in the house, and I can't lug it back and forth. Right. So I picked up the trumpet and started playing.
Well, as far as the trumpet, you know, what did that do for you musically, as far as kind of catapulting you into this world of this is what I want to do with my life?
Well, again, as I started playing and I started winning the contest and everything, and also music was in my neighborhood. For example, the first neighborhood I lived in was 87th and Quincy. Well, two streets over was Bobby Womack and the Womack Brothers. I used to hear them practicing. And so as I started winning the contests and everything, I said, oh, this might be something I really want to pursue. And plus the music, I'm listening to the radio, of course, like every, you know, young person does. And I said, I want to do this. I think I really want to do this.
Who were your inspirations at that time that you kind of, you know, when we're little, we pretend, you know, I'm going to be, you know, the next great. Who was it for
you? Well, of course, at that time, Elvis had came along, and I liked the doo-wop sound. The Temptations was just starting. The Motown sound was really just really starting to kick in. So I'm starting to listen to Motown, but also the doo-wop stuff was all around me too. So it was like, you know, back east, because in Cleveland, it was like Detroit was starting to make its name, but Cleveland, you know, believe it or not, was really the music hub. That's where Motown took and broke their records in Cleveland. So all that stuff was just all in the air. It was like infectious, like rain. It was just pouring down on you.
Would you say that, I mean, at that time, being black and being in the music industry, like we saw in the history of R&B, wasn't an easy time. So for you, as far as that, making that conscious decision, were you nervous at times, or did you have, you know, enough good energy around you to kind of say, like, okay, this is the path that I need to go down. I can't allow, you know, negative influences to let me down. How did you kind of keep going through that time?
At that time, they're talking about everything was right. I mean, you loved the craft. It was more than, as I said earlier, about the look. You wanted to do the music. It was in you. and you want to do anything in the world. What's missing now is that there weren't a lot of places for the young artists to hone their craft. That's not true now. But back then, you could, it was like every bar in the corner you could go and sing in. I did our first crank playing gig. I was 12 years old, and we got paid $5 a piece at a place called Shaker Lee Hall in Cleveland at a dance, you know. And so, but we still were honing our craft. We were on the street corner. We didn't need instruments. That's what doo-wop and that sound is about. You know, you're creating the sounds of music with your voices, mm-hmm. you know. And so we could practice anywhere or do anything, yes.
And what was it musically that you wanted to bring to the world?
I wanted to do something different. I was hearing what was going on, but I said, maybe I can contribute something just a little bit different here, you know, and that's what I was trying to do.
And you team up with Sly and Wicked, and Slick and Wicked, and you guys put this group together. And at this time, the world of boy groups, girl groups is, you know, a popular on the scene.
Yes.
What was it that you guys wanted musically to kind of separate yourself from everybody else?
Well, we were looking for different sounds. For example, there was another group of guys that were going to school with me. At the time, they were called the Bell Telefunk, which became the Dazz Band. Mm. So all of us were looking for different sounds and trying to, you know, it's different today. Again, it's not about the look. It's can we do create music differently? How can we make our sound distinct? Because if you notice, everybody in at that era, if you put the needle on or hear them, oh, that's, you know, yep. That's the Temptations. That's the Four Tops. That's Sly, Slick, and Wicked. That's the OJs. That's the Temps. We all had our own sound.
As far as moving forward and starting to work with different artists, how is it that you take your sound and apply it to another artist without it coming off, without it being overbearing for an artist?
Well, you listen to what, you know, where their vocal abilities are. You listen to what their personality is, and then you try to apply the music around to that.
What is one of your favorite songs that you've worked on, not for yourself?
You mean that I like, period?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the songs I think that's really, really, really great is How Can I Let You Get Away by the Spinners. I like the music. I like the mix. Tom Bell did it, who's one of the greatest unsung producers around. Bet You By Golly, Wow. You know, those are some of my favorite all-time mixes and where you used the horns and strings. Actually, me being a producer, who taught me how to do the vocals, who lay vocals was the OJs, who taught me how to lay strings and horns and tracks was Barry White. Yeah.
And so how do you stay so humble? I mean, you've literally worked with, like, everybody in the world that has been inducted into the Hall of Fame or just legendary in their own right. How throughout this career are you able to stay humble after everything you've seen, experienced, and the places you've been?
Well, I'm still like, to me, I'm still like just scratching the surface, you know? I mean, you know, I thank God that I've been able to be so successful, but I think there's still a lot to do. So I don't look, I mean, of course, it's great to be, you know, recognized and everything. But to me, I still got a lot to do. So I don't have time to, you know, to have no attitude or anything. I just got to keep on going.
And we were talking earlier, Tonight's the Night is a song that's put out it's up on YouTube right now. And it's promoted that it's by Sly, Slick, and the Wicked. And you corrected me because you went on to say, no.
Yeah.
That's not us.
Right.
And tell us a little bit more about this whole group situation that's going on with this doppelganger group of people who are posing as legendary groups.
Yeah, there are fake groups out there. I sit on what they call the Truth and Rock Board. And because you didn't see us a lot on television, because there wasn't a lot of television you could see us, you know, the Soul Train, Midnight Special in Concert, American Bandstand. So you knew the names, but you didn't know what the guys looked like or the people in the group. So what they do, they go and grab the trademark and everything, and they go out duping the public and say they're them. Just like, we never made Tonight's Night. I don't know who this guy is. You know, he never was with me, you know. Me and Charles started the group. We've known each other since we were 15 years old, and we're still together, you know.
And he's promoting himself
as Sly Slick and Wicked.
And, but like, so legally, how can somebody get away with
it? They grab your trademark. Yeah, they
and
grab.
So is it because they're doing it as, what would it be, like a... like when you're walking down Hollywood Boulevard and you see like the imposter Michael Jackson, is that what it's basically of the same essence?
Right, exactly. Exactly. And then they go
because you guys are public figures, public information, it can be taken and used.
Right. And if you don't find out that they've, you know, the mark is taken, they'll go and grab the mark and actually do it.
Really? Now, you guys have a movie that you're working on for the band?
It's out now. It's called The Sax Man. It's called The Sax Man.
The Sax Man.
Yes, it's called The Sax Man.
And tell us about the movie. What was the goal of putting the movie out?
There's a guy named Maurice Reedus in Cleveland, and some news reporter came up to him, and he said, you know, you don't look homeless. He said, I'm not. He says, who do you play with? I said, what's your name? He says, my name is Maurice Reedus. He said, oh, well, it can't be Maurice Reedus. Maurice Reedus played with Duke Ellington. He said, that's my father. He says, well, who'd you play with? He said, John Wilson, Sly, Slick, and Wicked. He said, yeah. So that turned into a newspaper article, which is turning into a book, which now has turned into a movie called The Sax Man. And it's about his adventures and adventures of Sly, Slick, and Wicked playing through the years in and out of the country.
And tell us a little bit about that experience for you.
Oh, it was wonderful, you know, seeing ourselves on screen and, you know, reminiscing again the stories that we were saying.
Because you guys still travel and
oh, we're still performing. We've been together now 44 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah, 44 years, Charles and I. As we started the group in high school, we're still together.
And, you know, kind of seeing this movie and, you know, being able to watch yourself back and relive those times and those moments. Going into the new year, coming into 2015, what is it that the projects that you want to work on? Is it more of your music? Is it more that you want to maybe move into a different realm of entertainment, or what do we have?
Well, I've just finished 144 voice choir for peace, and I've had Brian McKnight, Take Six, Al Jarreau, Taylor Dane, Sheila E., John Resnick for the Goo Goo Dolls. And so I've been doing that, and hopefully that'll be out toward the end of the year, so doing things like that. I've been producing a lot overseas, some of their acts over there.
What overseas, because you spoke about just the work mentality overseas. Where are some places or some artists that have really impressed you overseas?
In China, I was in China. There's a guy that sounds just like Whitney Houston. His name was Lin Yu Chung. He was on Elder DeGeneres.
I've seen him before. Yeah.
I'm up to do some more work with him over.
Really?
Sony signed him in China. There was an artist that I produced who just passed away. She had leukemia. Honda Minako. I had two number ones on her over there, and she's a tremendous pipes. I saw some great. Again, I was in the Philippines last year. I saw some great monster artists over there. So I mean, I've been really impressed by the talent, you know, around the world. I was in South Africa working, and I saw some great talent there. So it's like, you know, that's why now on the good side, the internet and everything gets all our music out there, and the people around the world try to, you know, imitate and emulate it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you say that as far as meeting these people, that they've kind of inspired you in the music that you create now?
Yes, absolutely. Because, I mean, to produce another language, you know, I produced in Japanese, and that was very interesting. You know, I produced in other languages. So, again, you know, we may not speak the same language, but the music is the barrier,
yep.
the healing essence of the world, because we may not speak the same language, but when we put the music on, we're going to do this in the same way, and we're going to find a way to communicate.
And I love that you said communicate, because I felt like I fell out of love with music for a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually co-wrote a song, huge song, Suit and Tie.
Yes.
Let's just take a quick little look at that little video. I don't know if you guys have heard of that song. We'll take a look at that, and then we'll get deeper into it.
JT.
I can't wait till I get you on the floor, good looking. Hey, going hot, so hot, just like an oven. And I'll burn myself, I just had to touch it. But it's so fine, and it's all mine. Hey, baby, we don't mind all the watching. Hi, 'cause if they study close, real close, they might learn something.
Suit and Tie with Justin Timberlake. So like I was saying, I fell out of love with music because I felt like it was around, 2004-05 where it just was like there was it literally I would listen to music and it just would have no soul effect on me in any way. And I'm loving the sounds that are coming out now, and I love that you were a part of that. And congratulations to you on the BMI award for that. How did you get involved with this project, and did you realize the wave that this project was going to kind of create musically?
Well, of course, our work is very well known, and Justin and Timbaland loved our song, and they asked, could they, sample it and everything, and they picked it up, and which again was shown up what we did on Soul Train again, which morphed in. And so, even though I'm a part of the project, it's like they did their thing, too, which is wonderful because again, they're mixing the old with the new, let me step out for a minute with Jay-Z and, Alicia Keys, New York State of Mind,
yep.
Well, that sample is Love on a Two-Way Street, So I'm loving it when it happens right.
Yes.
And again, being a part of this project and coming in, and lending my talents musically, because like 98% of the music is I did because I wrote the song and I wrote all the chords to the song. And there's a lot more to the song that people don't realize because the actual rhythm section up under that, that's the JBs, that's James Brown. And actually James Brown is playing on a couple of the riffs on the original sample. So it's like, here we got Justin, Timbaland, us, because some of our vocals is on there, and it was just a wonderful project.
And then you see this wave afterwards of bringing back this sound of soul, of this feeling of life in music, Pharrell. What is it, a fad right now, would you say, or can we keep this going?
I hope it keeps going because maybe it'll get back to where there's real singing, where there's real, substance in the music.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it gets back to that because, again, when you go to see a show, you want to see not only what you heard on the radio, but you want to see something different. When you have stuff taped or it's just really, locked in, you the artist has nowhere to grow on stage. That's what made, I guess, the music of the 70s great. Listen to not only our stuff, there's a song that we did on Motown called I Can't Hold It Back No Longer that's on our Motown album. And listen to what Charles did at the end. The vamp is missing. in the music now. And you say, what is the vamp?
Yeah.
Okay, the vamp is what, for example, Stairway to Heaven by the OJs, where the song is like almost ending, but then Eddie LaVert starts doing it and Walt does, you know, does other thing. Mickey Howard, Love Under New Management. Listen to it as the song is going out, they start doing other things. Mm-hmm. Barry White was an artist. He would talk at the beginning, him and Isaac Hayes. That vamp is missing now. Because if you go to the live shows, you see the Temptations, you know, they would take the vocals higher. Oh, a good vamp song is Reasons by Earth, Wind, and Fire, the live version.
Yep.
You know, do wee 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 and all that stuff. That's the vamp. I don't hear the artists doing that now.
That's true.
Everything is very structured. You're supposed to take the audience to the next level musically on stage.
I feel like people today are afraid to, you know, release that song that's 5 minutes and 36 seconds.
Why?
At this age. Oh, I'm saying.
I'm just saying why to the artist, right?
And it's interesting because I've been getting back in the gym, and Jennifer Hudson released that song with R. Kelly, It's Your World. She performed at the BET Awards, and it's very like Diana Rossi, and, you know, she belts it. And that's interesting that you said that, the vamp, because she actually brings that to the song, and I can listen to it on repeat and not get sick of it.
Right.
Every time I listen to it, there's a new sound. There's something that I didn't catch before vocally or... And yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, the soul today in music is packaged so sugarily popped perfection that we can't even get to the real talent.
Yeah.
In 2014, moving forward, what is something that you haven't accomplished yet, if you can find something to pull out of your bag, that you haven't accomplished that you want to?
I would like to win an Oscar for a film score, because I went to school. I was went to college. I had a scholarship to be a classical concert conductor, and I scored 6 films already. But I got a record deal in the middle of college, and I left. My mom and dad were really upset at the time, but they said, "Cool,
I'm sure they're fine."
Right? Yeah, they got. You know what? They didn't get fine with it until they saw me on Soul Train, and that was like 3 years later.
Really?
Right? Oh yeah, they. You know, you sure you doing the right thing? You know. And then when Soul Train came on, my father went in the bedroom. He watched it, you know, by himself. Then he came up. He says, "You don't have no more problem out of me, right?" But I would like to score a major film, something like a Star Wars, or that's what I would like to do. A Star Trek, you know.
Something in the science fiction.
Science fiction. But also, I would like to do, I guess, you know, the world has so much to offer. I mean, I just, where I can lend my talents, you know, that's what I would like to do. You know, wherever you need me, hopefully I can help you and I'll be there.
Oh, why science fiction? And just by curious, how does that inspire you?
You know, my dad... was an electrician, and we talked a little bit about the early prejudice. My dad, when NASA first started, he wanted to work on the rocket ships and the satellites, but because of his color, he came out of 100 people, he came in third in the test, but because of his color, he was thrown to the side. And luckily, the hospital hired him, and he started fixing X-ray machines and all that. So Dad always would buy me, you know, airplanes. And he, you know, if I wasn't going to be in the music industry and I'd been an astronomer, he would show me the stars. He said, there's Mars and that and this, that, and other. So I love Star Trek because that's what the future should be. You know, there's no money in Star Trek. Everybody's, you know, getting along except with the Klingons, you mm-hmm. know. But here on Earth, you know, everybody's getting along and having a good time, and money's not an issue. They're there to better themselves. So I like science fiction because it's like music. You know, in a science fiction film, you can do anything. You can go anywhere. You know, it's like a cartoon. I love Bugs Bunny. Why? Because two things. In a Bugs Bunny cartoon, anything is possible, plus the music scores. If you ever listen to Bugs Bunny,
yep.
just turn your head away and listen to the score, them hits, you know, Carl W. Stalling. So my point is that I would love to do something like that where I have free reign to just do John Sly Wilson.
Oh, well, I can't wait to see that one. All right. So before we wrap up, we're going to blast through this really quickly. We have six songs that we're going to play.
Okay.
The first one comes from Wale. It's called The Followers. It's going to be off of Wale's newest project. Let's take a listen. Yeah, what's it all for? Dressing old man, but give it up to my lord. And my influence in tight walls from mighty corns. It's levels to fellowship. You stuck on the same board. Truly provoking, shining new light through my zones. The women open, I should light, design doors. Oh, that swag call me trash. Who y'all source? Cause y'all sheep, the way I see it, you're all lost. Look what I encompass while you lacking direction. I would be the guy right to us and looking fly. Olympics to anyone. Jordan, Johnson, Phelps, shit. I can offhand put you right in strong hands. In a zone. I love Wale. Slept on talent, I feel like. He's like a Lauren and a Wyclef put together. He's just a creative genius. Next, we have the execs. You Can't Sit With Us. I don't know how I came across this. I'm obsessed with it, though. You are thirsty. My clique better than yours. Get more cheddar than yours. We so much better than you. Bet whatever, my boys. Get more cheddar than yours. We so much fresher than you. You can't sit at our table. Can't sit at our motherfucking table. Cause we better than you. You can't sit at our table. Can't sit at our motherfucking table. Cause we fresher than you. It's whatever you want to do. 2K15. McLaren come through and tear this bitch up. Spent the Benz truck in the strip club. 100,000 in the grill, it's us. Yeah, we better than whoever. You could catch us in whatever. In an area you're never in. I'm in a brand new Carrera. And that top pops off like that bitch a prosthetic. Can't Sit With Us, the execs. As a DJ, I have to listen to trash sometimes. And sometimes trash works for me, and that one does. Followed by this next song. We saw his video earlier, Full Cast Flip. This song's called Wallet Keys Phone. Literally, and I say this to myself before I leave the house every day: wallet, keys, phone. Right. Okay. And that's how he came up with the song, and he just freestyled. So here we go. Cast Flip, Wallet Keys Phone.
I like that.
Just simplicity.
Yeah, I might go and get that one myself.
And then a good reminder.
Right,
too.
Right.
All right, so this next one, like we've been talking about, mixing old school and new school, B.O.B. I got in a fight with somebody this weekend because they were like, B.O.B. is the least talented. I was like, are you kidding me? I've seen this man on a guitar, beatbox, and rap, playing the guitar and the drums at the same time. So this is B.O.B. Swing My Way. Featuring 7th Streeter.
I was out on the town, whipping and swinging, had my head on the swivel, cause niggas be scheming. I had just got off the phone, my partner told me be easy. It don't got no definition, we just all know the meaning. So I pull up to the spot, told the valet to leave it. Bumped into a little cutie. She looked like Jennifer Freeman. A couple feet to my right, I could see she was speaking. Couldn't hear what she was saying, cause the DJ was...
B.O.B. 7th Streeter, Shorty Swing My Way. Next, Siri Ari Da Kid featuring K-Camp, However I Like.
However I Like.
In this Slumlord album, they figured out the criteria for hip-hop music nowadays, and they did it on the
however
whole album.
I like, however, however I like. If I see that bread, I'ma bite. Tell them to check on the price. If I was a pilot, I'd get head on the flight. Whew. Bitch, where we headed tonight? We fucking the booth whenever I write. No, no, never I write. She stealing your Wi-Fi, she begging to Skype. Woo. It's like I can never decide. Brown skin caramel or just white. Bang, finna connect with your wife. We go together like Jekyll and Hyde. Don't be asking about no Instagram pictures. I'm liking whatever I like. Yeah, I'm slumming, so sex is a vice. Yeah, I'm slum dunking. Respect to the fight.
playing with different vocals. Love it. Final song. I had to do this just because I had to rep Faith Evans. Faith Evans, featuring Missy Elliott. I deserve it. She brought that old Faith Evans sound back, and Missy did it too. Love it.
Right, you don't need no Oscar, baby. I ain't flawless, but they know I'm priceless. The way you get your own, turn me on.
Faith Evans featuring Missy Elliott. I deserve it.
I likes that. I like that. Yeah,
well, John, I want to thank you for coming, blessing us with your presence here at the Beat.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in. Now, where can your fans keep in touch, follow you? I know you have a website,
yeah, www.SlySlickAndTheWicked.
Is it spelled and the?
Yes,
or is
and
it
the.
Like...
No, it's all Sly right. Slick ANDTHE Wicked.com.
There you go. Thank you for joining us, and thank you guys for listening. Make sure you guys hit us up at BHL Online every single week on Twitter, and also make sure you keep up with me at DJ Jesse J. Till next week, same time, same place. Peace.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Music redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.